Are you ready for new dimensions and countless possibilities today and for the future? It's an exciting new time, and the answers are out there. So join Mary Jane Popp as she explores the unique and unusual for a better life on Pop Talk in search of the truth. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
And welcome to more of Searching for That Truth. And it's all out there. It's just we have to find it. And that's what I do on Pop Talk. Welcome to the show. A little bit later on, we're going to talk about finding five ways to feel more confident and joyful. Because we don't have a whole lot of that in our lives these days. It seems kind of crazy. But before we do that, are you stressed out? Do you want less stress? Well, there could be a key as to how you can do that. And it might be a lot simpler than you think. So hang in there with us. It's Pop Talk. And you know we do.
High anxiety. Whenever you're near.
High anxiety, boy, do we have it. Would you like to have less stress? How about this? Could managing your time be a better help? And does it have to do with your personality type? Well, we're going to check in with behavioral consultant Lorraine Bosset-Smith, who hopes to offer another benefit and motivator to manage your time better with less stress and a happier life. I mean, what more can you ask for, right? So who doesn't want a happy life? Hold your hand up. I don't see any. Is it nature or nurture that makes us who we are? Lots of questions, so let's get some answers. Lorraine helps you with mastering time management today. We're going to talk about that. Nice to have you with us today, Lorraine.
Always a joy to be with you.
You're the best. So why can some personalities resist time management and still do well? I mean, is it in your DNA whether you can handle stress?
We are all made different, and we all handle different types of stress. That's why we can look at somebody and go, oh my goodness, what they're going through would just put me under. Well, they might be looking at you in your stressful situation and thinking the same thing. So we all have different resilience based on our life experiences, who we are as a person. What I want to do is help people say, okay, so let's use how I am, my personality, who I am wired to be, to help you manage that stress, which in essence requires us to be a little better with managing our time.
Okay, so are we born that way, or is that a learned? Is it nature or nurture?
It is something you were born with, and it doesn't matter male, female. It doesn't matter if you're born on this continent, somewhere else. There's four different styles, and I'll just give them to you.
Okay.
Rapidly. It's fast people, fun people, friendly people, and factual. And we have all four of those in us. But we have one that we tend to draw to the most. That's our primary, right? You know that fast person, if they're walking fast, they talk fast. You know the fun person who, it's never a short story. They're going to tell you all the exciting details and very elaborate with their arms. They look like they're, you know, just going to take off. The friendly folks, you know, lean in a little bit more, great listeners, a bit more reserved. And then those factual people who always catch your typos, are going to get it right and correct, a little bit quieter, but when they have something to say, you better listen, right? Because they often do their research. So we can tap into that part of ourselves to say, hey, how can I manage time, which is really our life events, right? We can't manipulate time. We're all given the same 24 hours. It's what we do with all of those requirements of life. And my motivator for me is I want to get the have-tos done as quickly as possible so I can do the things that will fill me up, that will reduce my stress, that will bring that joy, right, that you were talking about, that is getting sucked out of us in the world, right? So it's up to us to look at how can we do that so we can have that quality of life.
Now, define time management for me.
Yeah, it is truly those things in life we have to do. It's our events, whether that's work commitments, that's child commitments, doctor's appointments, cooking, cleaning, shopping. All of these events are what equal time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we're all taught, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? So we typically are breaking these things out into daily. So what, you know, I encourage people to do is take charge of the day. Don't let the day rule you, but have a to-do list so that you know what it is you need to get done that day so that you, at the end of the period of time that we're given, that you have some extra, that you're not just dropping in bed dead and then starting the whole next day all over again, rinse and repeat, right? You want some hours left where you can do something for yourself or enjoy your family or be out in nature.
Yeah, but how do you not feel guilty with that extra time?
Well, that extra time is going to make you a healthier person. If you're healthier, you're going to be more productive at your job, so you could be promoted. You're going to be a nicer person to be around. Your family is going to appreciate it. Those are all motivators for us to say, hey, this isn't being selfish. This is being self-care. And it really, you know, some of us were born in this generation that was a badge of honor to basically work ourselves to the bone.
Yeah.
Well, we're finding out that's just not going to get us where we want to go. It's going to put us in the grave early, and for what? So we need to rethink some of the push and go and just never stop to say, hey, this isn't just for me. This is for the people in my life I care about. This is for my career. This is for the other people on the planet. You know, why people have road rage? They're not taking care of their events in their life. So they're frantic, and that frantic comes out at you on the road.
Okay. Of the four that you said, you're fast, fun, friendly, or factual. Which one are you?
I am a fast with a very high fun factor coming next.
Oh.
I have had to learn to slow down. This is why I teach these things, my friend, is I've had to learn myself.
Okay.
I'm that person at the grocery store. People get out of my way because they think there's a fire because I'm walking so fast. I'm like, no, this is just how I roll.
Yeah. But that's not necessarily healthy, though.
To move fast can be. There's a place for each of these personalities. Because think about it. If everything went slow and everything took time, there's some big things that would never get done.
Right.
So we have to learn how to tap into the parts of the fast, fun, friendly, factual that service for the appropriate time.
Can't you
so
be
there
a
is a place to be fast and get it done.
Can't
but
you
there is a time to have fun.
Okay.
And there is a time to slow it down. A lot of my friends are in the friendly category. And it does. I slow down. I talk slower. I don't watch a clock. We're just enjoying each other's time. That's good for my soul. I need that. And then, of course, we all have to balance checkbooks and pay bills, and we have to be analytical at times. And so we have to use that part of the personality. So it's understanding they all exist. And then tapping into those depending on what you have to do.
So we use them all.
We do.
Oh, okay.
We just feel more comfortable in one. It is harder for me to slow down. It doesn't mean I can't. But I get free money with being fast and decisive and directive and just, you know, go and just do it. I live there and I'm comfortable. But I've learned to spend time in the others so that I can be effective. And again, at the end of the day, have some time left over to breathe and stare at paint if I want to, or take the dog for a walk, whatever, you know, those activities that just help your life be less stressed.
Yeah, because, I mean, it depends on the situation you're in, too. Well, at work, you might be one personality when you're grocery shopping, another personality when you're doing the checks. You know what I mean? It depends on what's happening in your life.
Yep, that's called adapting and modifying your behavior to the situation. And so many people do it instinctually, right? They don't logically say, oh, I'm going into my factual mode right now. They just do it. But when we can have this awareness, those things are available to us when we might be struggling. And we're like, why am I struggling? You go, oh, well, I need to put that hat on right now. I am working on a big, massive spreadsheet budget for my job. I've got to look at that factual side of my personality. So I'm dating myself, but you remember the equalizers in cars where you had to manually push up if you wanted bass, you know, boom, ba-doom, ba-doom,
yeah.
Or if you wanted to bring it down, there were levers, right?
Yeah.
Well, those are levers in our body that we're choosing to raise up when we need them or choosing to put them down. Like the fun person has to lower that part of themselves when they're listening to someone else. Otherwise, they'd be talking over the other person and, you know, the conversation would be chaotic, right? So mm-hmm. they have to learn to say, oops, you know, and, you know, I have that part of me. So I've learned the trick of putting a straw in my mouth. Like I'm drinking. I constantly like to hydrate. So I'll use a straw because that forces something in my mouth and it keeps my mouth shut while somebody else is talking.
Okay. Yeah, but I'll give you an example. I love multitasking. Otherwise, I get bored.
So you are probably a fast person like me, and that's why you and I have gotten along so well through the years, I think, is we're very similar. And I, too, multitask, but there is a point, and especially for some of the other personality. So that friendly and factual, that can start to overload them a bit. For us, that's free money. We tend to, the fast and the fun can tend to multitask. But that being said, there's still that red line that nobody should cross over. I see it in the grocery stores, back to that. Somebody's talking on their cell phone.
Oh, I hate that.
Rah, 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 rah. Well, they're standing still in the aisle, blocking the whole way for the rest of us. Meanwhile, they are not getting their shopping done because they can't focus on two things at once. So are they being effective? I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend 2 hours in the grocery store.
No.
I want to get it, get home, and check that off my list and say, good, it's done.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be in the store. That's just not my thing. Maybe if someone loves the grocery store, then they want to be in there. But most people, I don't think, do. So there's a time and a place, just like everything, for that multitasking.
Gotcha.
Being on the road and on your cell phone is not the place to multitask. That's a whole other discussion.
But now, wait a minute. If I'm on the road, which I have to, when I drive up to the station, it's like a 35, 40-minute drive. So I love talking with people on, you know, on the phone.
But you're not doing it on your hands. You're doing hands-free.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
I'm talking about the people which, I'm sorry, I still see probably 40% of the population got their phone.
Yeah. Which is against the law, by the way, in California.
It is in Arizona as well, but it doesn't stop people.
No, you're right.
And, you know, I see people Facebooking.
Oh, that's insane.
Crazy story. I saw a guy on a motorcycle, and he was on his phone. He was doing something on his phone. So both his hands were on his phone. They were not on the motorcycle handle.
Oh, geez.
In massive traffic. And I'm like, that's a death sentence.
Yeah, that's insane.
So again, and there is some science and research that says we are distracted when we're talking. So again, it's just knowing when. Like if I'm in really serious traffic, I will not have a conversation on my, even though it's the hands-free.
Yeah.
If it's something I'm very familiar with and there's no road construction, then yes. But like I said, just be mindful that sometimes we are just overloading our brain and we need to give the right attention to the right thing.
Out of curiosity, can you overplan and not any spontaneity?
Absolutely. So every piece of paper that we've ever looked at in our life in books has margins, right? Because if the words didn't have margins, they would spill out and we wouldn't be able to read anything. There'd be missing letters and words. Our life is the same way. We need some margin. But imagine a book that had 6-inch margins on each side. That's too much, and we still couldn't read it because now all the words would be like, you know, brip, 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 brip.
Yeah.
And it would take forever because it would be like 10 times the size. So we can do too much of that. That is the friendly and the factual. That's a trap they can fall in, is they can overplan and forget about the spontaneity. Well, guess what they need to tap into is more of that fun side.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, and the word fun is different to everybody. I mean, to me, fun is playing with my dogs, or at the end of the day, I usually have a cutoff. I will go fast all day if I need to be. But when I come to a certain time, I say, that's it. I got to get out my popcorn and I got to sit and watch, game shows or, you know, something that's totally inane. It kind of I'm engaged with it because I want to play the game too, but it's fun. I don't have to worry about it.
Right. There's another reason why we get along. I love popcorn.
Do you?
I do.
That's my favorite.
And it's a healthy snack if we don't put too much butter on it.
No, then I'm not in that game. I like the butter.
I do too. That's why I said not too much, because what good is popcorn if it's just like styrofoam?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes,
and a lot
I'm
of it
with
is.
You. Oh. But yes, it's fun. It's different for each of us, as is, you know, those things that will take that stress down. So you need to know that about yourself. Nobody else can do it for you.
Got it.
And if it's a walk or, and again, by our style, you know, typically the factual people do like word puzzles and cognitive activities. That sounds counterproductive, but that's free money for them. So that actually de-stresses them. So those word games, sitting there doing that, can really help take their stress down. Whereas friendly people may need to pull away from folks because they're so giving and so supportive of other people that they get exhausted. So they need to recharge by maybe a bubble bath or reading a book or
yeah, I could never do that. To take a bubble bath. What am I wasting my time doing this? You know,
that's because you're the fast personality. So that's okay. It just makes you different. Fun people tend to like activities that engage other people. That's why some people go out country dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Want to
yeah.
go to a concert. And, you know, I'm at that age where that just sounds exhausting. And so I'm with you at the end of my fast day. I'm kind of ready to be quiet and settle down. And I'm a movie person. So I tend to just record a bunch of movies, pick what sounds good for the night, and watch a movie.
Gotcha. Do you make notes? I make notes on everything.
I do. I use my computer. This is a great place to talk about the different tools. There's apps, there's computer programs, there's calendars and like Microsoft Office. And I use the tasks a lot, and then I kind of track some details in that. I still have an old-fashioned day timer because I actually like the visual of seeing my month at a glance.
And yep.
So then you can write some notes on that. Apps, Asterisk is an app. It helps you with tasks and it will pop up.
You know
up.
What? I want to get away from the technology. And
I'm with you. That's why I still have I've my got old my, fashioned daytime.
Yeah, my pen in hand, you know, and I'm taking notes and everything. I mean, people go, oh, do you use the computer to do notes for the show? No! I want to, you know, feel the questions, you know, and I feel the questions because I can look at them immediately, you know, and change things, you know?
Right. And I have pads of paper everywhere, and I'm a creative person, and sometimes in the middle of the night, you know, I get an idea, right, to write about something. You might get a show idea. So I have that pad of paper there, and I write it out so I don't stress myself out. I know it's there. I go back to sleep. So, yes, you know, we're all different, and there is, again, science and research that proves that when we write something down, we tactile it, right? Yeah. We're touching the pen. We're touching the paper. We have more of a retention. So might be important if you're having to memorize, learn, and, you know, regain and maintain that knowledge. It might behoove you to write it out. I mean, test some things that seem to work for you. Toss out what doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, I always have little tricks, and everybody can do their own thing. But what I do is, if I don't have notes handy, I'll do a series of letters. Those letters will, each letter will spontaneously give me a word. That word will then get into a sentence, which would give me into a thought. But that I used to do that ever since I was a kid, you know?
Yep.
That's my thing. Everybody has a thing, right?
They do. Mine as a writer is I come up with the title and then everything else flows from there.
I'll be darned. So you have
like a blog title, right? The blog title, you know, because I know you're on my list. I come up with what I want to call it first and then, and then I write the rest.
So should a person change the mindset or fit these fast, fun, friendly, and factual into their mindset that they have?
So again, we're born with this, but unlike our IQ, we can adapt and modify this through time.
Okay.
But we're always going to have that place where we feel most comfortable. But with this awareness, we can say, hey, I need to lower that fun today because I've got to be real serious and I've got to raise up that factual because I'm doing numbers and crunching, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we can definitely use these to our advantage. It just, you have to be intentional. It's just like anything else. If we just let it happen, well, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. So is it a brain thing or a train thing?
It is, personality is a little bit of your brain and a lot of just your DNA.
Okay.
It's just how you're made. It's your wiring. I mean, your style affects how you communicate, how, you know, your motions, like I said, walking fast, walking slow, to exercise. I mean, that's an interesting topic of itself. But again, like some people, are let the fun people have trouble with time management because it's just not that fun.
Yeah.
That's why I try to say, hey, do this so that you can have more fun, right? More time at the end of the day for fun things. So it's a motivator. But for fitness, the friendly folks can often really struggle with doing that because it involves themselves versus helping someone else, right? So again, we all have strengths. We all have areas that we need to work on.
Yeah.
But it all starts with that awareness. And I really do encourage folks to manage that time. Just get that stuff out of the way so that you can bring back the balance, the joy, and manage that stress.
You know, but there is a little, there's a gender difference too, in my opinion. And that's, I'm going to get your opinion. Women can multitask much better than men. Men, you give them a problem, they got to go into their problem-solving mode, and they don't come out of it till they find a solution. Whereas a woman, you know, she can be doing two or three things at the same time and solve them.
That tends to be true. Yes, I agree with you. And that is definitely how the male and the female were made from long ago. The men were the hunters. So it took very laser focus. One thing, don't lose sight of that deer. I gotta get dinner or the wife is gonna be mad. Meanwhile, the wife is home with the five kids, juggling them, making her own flour and cooking dinner and baking dessert and cleaning all at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we, by our nurturing and by our design, tend to be able to multitask better. So that is definitely a brain wiring.
Got it. Now, do you have a website, don't you?
I do. www.lorrainebossie-smith.com. That's B-O-S-S-E. So lorrainebossie-smith.com.
Fantastic.
All kinds of free resources and articles and blogs and books and happy to help folks however I can.
Now, the book, Mastering Time Management Today, that's available on the website?
It is. You would just go to my store, and that's a pretty hefty, it's a booklet. So it's a file that literally you get to put on your computer or device. You have it there for you to use, and it's got tons and tons of information, not just what we talked about today, but a lot deeper of how do you just get your life back? How do you manage those events, reduce your stress?
I love it.
Hopefully be healthier and happier.
Lorraine, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us because we need help. We really just do. And I appreciate all your advice and ideas, and it'll get us some thinking to do. You know what I mean?
Yes. So just weigh it out, right? If you don't like time management, but how do you like the chaos, right? So if you want the chaos to be better, you're going to have to look at maybe doing some things different.
You betcha. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Lorraine Bossé-Smith. And it's, again, you can go to her website, lorrainebossé-smith.com. Coming up on Pop Talk, 5 ways to feel more joy and confidence. Hey, we can use all of the above, right?
At its meeting last February, the APA adopted a policy affirming the right of gender-diverse people to access the care that they need, provided that it is evidence-based. That is, there is a research base of evidence showing that the treatment is effective and safe, etc. and tailored to the age of the patient, child, adolescent, or adult. As someone who has both treated patients with gender dysphoria and had an extended family member who transitioned from male to female, I'm in support of my professional organization's stance. I'm appalled that politicians think they know better than clinicians how to treat patients. And sadly, this is true in more areas than this one in too many states in our country today. I would prefer not to have a politician who has never taken more than an undergraduate psychology course, if any, try and tell me how to do my job after 14 years of college and over 20 years of clinical experience. Stay in your lane. Thank you very much. You do your job and let me do mine. I'm Dr. Dave Davidson-Mateau with the Mental Health Minute, a public service of Sierra Hills Individual and Family Therapy in Auburn.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move a big rubber plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant, but he's got high hopes. He's got
Well, we all have high hopes to a certain extent, right? But has the joy kind of slipped out of your life? And then, I don't know, the joy goes away, the high hopes go away. So has your confidence waned? Want to feel more joy and confidence every single day? Well, that's why Melody Kraft is with us on Pop Talk. There's anxiety, there's stress, fear, self-doubt. That holds us back. And Melody tackles all those issues in Get Me Out of Here, What's Beyond This Madness. Melody is a psychologist and soul navigator to help reveal one's life purpose. And she has produced and hosted TV specials in metaphysics and miracles. Her passion is in guiding spiritual seekers to ID their blocks that prevent them from unfolding the unique gifts that we all have. Nice to have you with us, Melody.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
You betcha. Okay. What's a soul navigator?
What is a soul navigator?
What is a soul navigator? That's what you are, right?
Yes, that's right. Okay. So what I do as a soul navigator is I help people navigate their soul. There's many different stages that we go through. And so I help people understand where they're at, what's going on, and how they can deal with it.
Okay, what stages are you talking about that we go through?
So the people that come to me for help, they're all on stage two.
Which is?
So in stage two, people have they've reached a point in their life where things just were not working anymore. And they got to the point like, this is just unbearable. I need to do something else, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to move forward. And so when a person reaches that point, they're stepping out of stage one where you're really believing in all the delusionary thoughts of the material world. And so you're leaving behind burdens. And in stage two, you're deciding, okay, I'm going to do something about it. And so now you're willing to start the process of waking up to who and what you really are. And there's many challenges in stage two.
Like what?
Okay, so the challenges that we face in stage two is, first of all, trying to get a grip and really understand the nature of our intuition. A lot of people don't believe they have intuition, but the reality is everyone has intuition because intuition is spiritual. And intuition is the voice of your soul. The voice of your soul connects to spirit, and spirit connects to source energy.
Okay, but why is it that some people have better intuition than others? Is that just a talent that they're given?
I don't think it's necessarily a talent that they were given. I think it's things that they've worked on in previous lives.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay. We, on soul level, anything that we remember on a soul level, we're going to bring forth in the next incarnation. So if individuals have been working on that previously, it's going to be easier for them to step into.
Okay. So what did you bring from your past lives?
Well, I was, it was easy for me to slide into a meditative state because I know in past lives I did a lot of that. And I did my best to listen to my intuition.
Okay.
Because when we listen to our intuition, it's always guiding us forward. What keeps us stuck is the ego. It will interfere. And the ego is always very loud. You know, when you're trying to make a decision about something, the ego immediately jumps in and gives you all the reasons why you should not do something.
Why would it do that?
Because the ego's job is to keep you stuck in the past.
Really?
So the ego, you know, is really just a collection of thoughts that we have about ourselves that we believe are true, but they're not.
But what if you're happy?
Well, if you're happy, that means you're listening to your intuition.
Okay. But how do I know the difference?
The difference is the ego always makes you feel constricted, makes you feel small. You know, when people hear that self-critical thought inside their head, always telling them they're not good enough or you can't do this, you know, and they're in a doubt mode or fear mode, that's all the ego. The ego is all about fear.
Mm-hmm. And
but we want to shift our attention away from these egoic thoughts and shift them to listening to our intuition, listening to the voice of our soul, which is love. And so basic, in the most simplest way, I can say the journey of the soul in stage two is identifying when you're listening to your ego, not fighting with it, but shifting to the voice of your soul and become a more loving being. Because the reality is, love is the essence of what we are.
Hmm.
So we're always replacing, we're working on replacing ignorance with wisdom. Hmm. And we're replacing illusion with reality. And illusion is, again, all these illusionary beliefs that we have about ourselves that tell us that we're not good enough.
Oh, okay. So you also talk about understanding the nature of intuition. So what do I need to learn?
So the nature of intuition is, as I just said, it's the voice of your soul.
Oh, okay.
It's the voice of your soul. And which means when we listen to it, we're being divinely guided.
Hmm.
And intuition is very soft and gentle. It tends to be repetitive. So you, those times when you have like that nudging feeling, perhaps you should go somewhere, you're feeling this nudge to go do something, but your logical mind says, well, why do I want to do that? I don't want to do that. I'd rather stay home. There's a good movie on tonight.
Okay.
You know, I don't want to go out and, you know, to this event. But then you keep having this urge to go, but you have no idea why. That's how intuition works. And so when you act on your intuition, what's going to happen is you're going to see the results from your action. And it's going to take, move you forward. It's going to bring to you something that you need in that moment.
Hmm. So you refer to a thing of about discipline and practice of new thoughts that trigger a feeling of the true self. Don't I need to know who the true self is first?
Yes and no.
Uh-oh. I get these. That's a political answer. Yes and no.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. So let me explain it so it makes more sense.
Okay.
The reality is, on a certain level, we're all aware of what we are, but it tends to be buried under the egoic consciousness. Now, what I do with workshops with people, I walk them through a guided meditation so they can experience who and what they really are, where they feel that loving self, where they feel free, where they feel safe. And it's just, you know, that feeling of love and oneness. So that's what we really are. So once a person has that moment of experiencing it, it acts as a trigger that they want to remember it more. And so I encourage people to remember that feeling. And when they have a self-critical thought, something's keeping them stuck, not to argue with it, not to fight it, but just notice it. And then shift their attention to that feeling that they experienced where they felt in that state of oneness. And when you consistently do that over a period of time, what happens is you start extinguishing old thought patterns that keep you stuck in the past.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Is there a difference between finding what my intuition says and finding more joy or more confidence, or do all those fit together?
They all fit together.
Okay. How do I know the difference? You know, if it's my confidence or my intuition, or, you know, I'm looking for joy, you have to look for something. You got to figure out which one you want.
Well, the reality is when we're looking for something outside of ourselves, we're never going to find it. So because the essence of what we really are is love, and within love is joy. So our journey is always about remembering joy, remembering love. And does that make sense when I say that?
But remembering what? I mean, I've had a lot of different joys in my life.
Yes.
I'm not sure, am I supposed to get, you know, and accept one to go after, or just the feeling of joy?
Oh, well, because the feeling of joy is already within you, because that's what you are. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. When you're not listening to the ego, then you're opening yourself up to be receptive to remembering the feeling of joy.
Okay.
Because it's really always there.
But it's hiding.
it's hiding under illusionary beliefs that make you feel small or less than.
Huh. Okay.
And when you have those moments, you know, especially when people do something they really love, their talent, their passion, when they do that, they're in this alignment with their true self, with intuition. And in those moments, they feel joyful because they're doing what they love.
Now, you say you have 5 ways to feel more joy every single day. Let's briefly go through those, okay? The first one you say is create a meditation practice. That is so hard for me to do.
I know. Many people say that, okay? And a lot of people say, well, I just can't meditate. And, you know, meditation practice, it's like anything that you learn that you got good at. You practice it.
Yeah, but it's boring.
Initially, it can be boring. Now, for people who can't sit still, there's a walking meditation. You can be active. You know, you can be painting. You can be sewing, especially if you have something like sewing can be a repetitive act that quiets your mind.
Okay.
So if you have something you really love doing, that quiets your mind.
Hmm.
But for people who decide, okay, I want to do a meditation practice, where do I begin? I just say, just in the morning, just stop for like 3 to 5 minutes and just be quiet. Just allow your mind to be quiet.
I can't even shut that off when I go to sleep.
Well, I understand that. And there's a way you can deal with that.
Oh.
And one of the ways you can do, one of the 5 ways, is by creating a journaling practice. So you get a journal, and at the end of the day, before you go to bed, you sit down and you take some time to write how you feel. You know, and there's always disruptions or things that annoy you through the day, or you feel pressured. You know, we live in a very fast-paced world. But if you write down everything that is on your mind and you just keep writing until you feel like, oh, you have it all out of your system. And you'll know, you'll feel it. It's like there'll be a sense of relief. It's like you can finally breathe because you have it all down on a piece of paper.
Yeah, but I haven't gotten any answers. You know, I can write down all the stuff that bugs me, but it's like, but I want answers to those things so I don't be bugged in the future.
Well, when you're writing these things down, you can ask while you're writing.
Oh.
You know, I need clarity on this.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so once you write all of this down, there's a sense of relief. And when you have that sense of relief, it's an opening for you to allow you to feel, be in a place of joy.
Hmm.
Okay. And another reason why meditation is so important is that it will allow you to get clarity for the questions that you have.
Oh. Okay.
Because you can always set an intention when you decide to be quiet for a few minutes.
Huh.
You know, can I get clarity on this issue that I'm dealing with right now?
Okay.
It may come to you right away, or it may come to you later in the day.
Gotcha. Okay, now, you mentioned do what you love. Okay, suppose I'm, this is my own attitude, which is not necessarily good, but it just is. I would love to maybe do some painting, but I figure, you know, if I'm not good enough, that will make me very upset. If I don't do, whatever I do, whether I love it or don't love it, I want it to be the best. When I was singing and performing, I had to be the best. If I didn't, I was going to be really upset the rest of the day or my life. You know, it's just, is that a bad thing to be a perfectionist?
Short answer, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But actually, the flip side of being a perfectionist means you're persistent. So that's a good quality that you have.
Well, yeah.
Now, one thing I always recommend for everyone to do is let go of expectations. Any expectations.
Oh, that's hard to do. Come on.
I didn't say it was going to be easy.
Oh, okay.
This journey we're on is not easy. In fact, it's the hardest thing we'll ever have to do. But the rewards are so great. Now I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay.
when you let go of expectations, what happens is you give yourself permission then just to be yourself and, you know, do your art and have fun with it. And you don't have to be better than anyone else. If we're always comparing ourselves to someone else, we're always going to be disappointed because someone's always going to be a little bit better. They have a different talent.
I don't like that.
Looking at things. And so, you know, and so you're setting yourself up for feeling miserable. But can you imagine if we all came in and had the same ability, we'd all be doing the same thing? Can you imagine what the world would be like?
Boring.
Yes.
Very boring.
So we have, you know, we bring in these different talents and abilities and aptitudes and desires. And so you just got to be you and do what makes you happy and forget about what other people are projecting on you.
Mm. Well, I'm doing what makes me happy. I love doing this because I learn so much. That maybe that's what's in me. I love to learn new things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a great thing to have.
Well, not necessarily, because it can be frustrating too. You say do things for others. Like what?
Okay. So when you're doing something for someone else, and it can be anything. Maybe you're helping a friend who just got out of the hospital, you know, going over and helping them while they're recuperating, you know. It could be anything, but the key to that is make sure that you don't have any conscious or unconscious expectations of some kind of return for helping that person. So you really want it to come from a place of love. And when it does, you're going to experience joy. It's going to make you happy.
Well, it feels good to help others, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes, I don't know, there are some people, though, that you got to be careful because they can be what I call energy vampires. You know,
yes.
They will suck it from you every single day if you let them. So you have to draw a line there, too, right?
Absolutely. Especially if you do like helping people, people with that vampire archetype, they will identify you immediately.
Yeah.
They want to be carried. They don't want to stand on their own 2 feet. Yeah, and you don't want to do that. You don't want to carry them.
Well, not only that, it doesn't do them any good either.
Exactly.
It's sort of like they used to call it tough love, you know? I love you, but get your butt out of here and go do something, you know?
Yes.
Amazing. You also say focus on what you can control. Because, yeah, you're right. We can't control everything.
Right. In fact, there's really nothing in this world we can control.
Oh, come on.
I have an exception here.
Okay.
What we can control is our thoughts.
Yeah, that's true.
And our thoughts create our experiences. So I always encourage people, you know, give yourself the gift thoughts that come from love, that's going to bring joy into your life.
Hmm.
But it's really important. Once a person really realizes, I can't control anything, it gives you a sense of freedom. And it's like a burden is lifted from you.
Hmm.
Because what is control really? It comes from fear. I have to control things. If I don't, something bad will happen to me. That's why people control.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay, define love.
Define love. Now, that's not an easy thing to define.
I know.
I would say the essence of what you are is love. And it's the absence of anything. Can I say this? Anything outside of love is not real.
Yeah, well, look what's around us in the world right now. It's called hate.
Yeah, and that's not real. It comes from the ego. And it's all about people having this sense that they have to defend themselves. And what they're really defending is an illusionary thought about themselves, an illusionary identity that makes them feel threatened. And when people feel threatened, then they become angry and hostile. And this is all illusionary. But it makes this world absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of crazies. Well, crazy. But we got some crazies out there, too.
Well, yeah, we have a lot of people that are very embedded in fear, and that creates conflict on an individual level, interpersonal, and on a world level. And we're seeing that being played out in a very big time today.
Yeah. Peace and love, are those interchangeable?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're the same thing. Within love is peace. Within peace. Love is joy.
Okay.
You know, and within love, you know, the essence of what we are is love. So what does that mean? It means we're eternal. It means we're infinite.
Hmm.
It means we don't die. It means that we're naturally free. We're naturally safe. That nothing in reality can ever harm us.
We do die, though, but we pass over, hopefully, into something better, I would hope.
Well, our body, we die.
Yeah.
But we don't die. Our personality, our consciousness is still very much alive.
Hmm.
And so we're just shifting to a different vibration when we leave our body. And in that next stage, we then make decisions. Well, first of all, we do our best to learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we make decisions. How do I want to plan my next incarnation? What lessons do I need to learn? You know, how can I master these energies and talents that I have? And how can I let go of illusionary beliefs? And then we have support on the other side in making these decisions. And so when the time is right and you incarnate again into a different body, you're bringing your consciousness back with everything you learned on a soul level.
Hmm. Now, when we talk about the word confidence, how do you have confidence without ego?
Oh, it's actually easier to have confidence without the ego.
Yeah?
Because the ego, again, is an illusion. All the thoughts of the ego is an illusion. You know, we have this idea in this world that it's a myth that having a big ego is a good thing. It's actually not, because the ego's job is to keep you in fear and keep you stuck in the past.
Hmm.
And so as you diminish and extinguish illusionary thoughts that come from the ego, it sets you free. And when you get closer and closer and become more aware of the authentic you, within that, there's a feeling of love and safety and comfort and confidence, because you're coming from truth, from reality, and not illusion.
Amazing. So how did you discover your truth?
Mainly through meditation.
Oh, don't do that. Just don't do that again.
And I've read a lot of the different spiritual teachings, The Course in Miracles, you know, the Gita and other readings. And so it's something I've been studying for many years. And then I have to say meditation for me was really a big turning point. having these direct experiences of, you know, feeling peaceful and loving and joy.
But you said that recognizing part of what we should be doing, recognizing there are only two choices and choosing wisely. Why only two choices? I don't get it.
Because we're either going to be making a choice from based on a falsehood or truth.
Hmm.
So that means we're making a choice coming from fear, which is the ego. The results are not going to bode well. When we make a choice from our intuition, which is coming from our soul and love, we're going to have good thoughts, good results.
Okay. Have you ever chosen not wisely?
Oh, there are times in my past I've chosen.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, from the ego, and it never turned out well.
Oh, okay. But we're, you know, with all the technology that we have today, and we're bombarded with information, Melody. You know, how to do things right, how to look right, feel right, be right, speak right, dress right. I mean, and we're bombarded with that. How do you block that out?
It's something I've been thinking about a lot lately. It feels like we're just being overwhelmed with information. And the pace of everything with technology today goes so fast, people don't have the time to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So I just always suggest people, you know, minimize your time on TV with the news to a few minutes a day.
Oh,
it's important
to
be aware of what's going on, but you don't want the constant repetition of all the negativity, you know, impacting you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about deciding just shut the door on a lot of the information. Decide what's important for you.
Yeah.
Focus on that and let the other stuff go away. Don't open the emails about things that don't have anything to do with you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's hard to do too, because you think, oh, I better jump double check because that might be something I need to know. It's an amazing world that we're living in, but it's also a frightening world, a stressful world. I mean, there's a lot of negatives out there. Let's put it that way.
Yes, there is. And because, you know, the reality is we're all one, that means we have this collective consciousness. And so, especially for people that are sensitive, you know, you're feeling the energy and the thoughts of everyone around you and from the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be aware and sensitive where this information is coming from. Is it coming from within you? Or are you just picking up the energy that's floating around you?
Got it. Do you have a website?
I do. It's melodycraft.com. And my last name is spelled different than most people would think. It's KRAFFT.com. Two F's in my name.
Fantastic.
And so if anybody wants to reach me, they can certainly go to the website.
Okay. And then your book, Get Me Out of Here. I love the name of it. Get Me Out of Here.
Yes.
What's Beyond This Madness? Is that available on the website or Amazon or
and
all of
Amazon
the
and Barnes & Noble, almost any outlet is carrying it.
Excellent. Well, you know, what you're saying makes sense, but also, you know, as a psychologist, are these things you tell people about too?
Oh, yes. This is what I focus on.